This morning we're going to be focusing on, in the harmony of the Gospels, how Jesus will send two disciples to prepare for the Passover meal. Let's give thanks unto the Lord for His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how You've used Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and how You've just put together just this harmonizing of Your truth. We ask that even today, as we put together the various accounts, that You would show us something fresh and new that we've not seen before. And then, Lord, also remind us of those things that we've previously known. We ask that You'll bless our time together as we journey with Jesus now on this fifth day of the Passion Week. For in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, now we are in the Passion Week, and we're at the fifth day of the Passion Week on Friday. And in fact, our very first question is, what day was it? And here's what we're told. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Mark says, and the first day of unleavened bread. Luke, then came the day of unleavened bread. So it's this first week, the first day, if you will, of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. We mentioned last week how that this week started with the Passover and then went right into the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. In fact, let's do this because we can read of this. Come back with me to Exodus 12. I don't want to do too much on this because we're studying through Exodus, but I think we can at least read of this account and show you how the Passover went right into the week and feast of the unleavened bread. So we're just going to scurry through these verses, reading from Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That's, we're getting up to the Passover. And they shall take of the blood, they shall strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper post of their house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, with and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the puritans or inwards thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and shall smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. Ye shall keep it in a feast by an ordinance forever. Now watch what comes next. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. And whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No matter of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, and only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For in that selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. I think we can stop there. I think we have the gist of it. So this, it began with the Passover, and then we had these 7 days of unleavened bread. And it really, they weren't to eat unleavened bread on the Passover. They were to be ready to be getting out of that land. All right, now this is what they were commemorating as we are reading now through Matthew, Mark's, and Luke account. Look at our next question. What did they do on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread? Well, Mark says when they killed the Passover. That's what we just read. Luke says when the Passover must be killed. And I give you a couple of statements here. Passover was followed immediately by the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This eight-day festival was often called, the whole thing was called Passover. The Passover was a festival which commemorates the liberation of the Israelites from the Egyptian slavery. And I mentioned, according to Exodus 12:5, the Passover animal could be a lamb or could have been a young goat. And we mentioned this, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread symbolizes the removal of sin in the life of the Israelite believers. That's the symbolism of it. But the whole aspect, they were to be ready. Don't have time to let the bread leaven. But they were to be ready at any moment. They were going to be exiting out of Egypt. Well, okay, that's the day. Now, who came to Jesus concerning this? Well, the Bible tells us, according to Matthew's account, the disciples came to Jesus, all right? And you look at sheet number 2. What did they ask Jesus? Matthew says, well, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Mark says it like this. The disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare? We got that little extra phrase, well, just to go, that thou mayest eat the Passover. So very, very similar with both Matthew and Mark's account. And who did Jesus send forth? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Well, Luke tells us who they were. Luke says, and he sent Peter and John. Now, what do we know about Peter and John? They were two of the, what? Inner, Peter, John, and James were the three inner closest disciples to our Lord. So he sends Peter and John to prepare or make sure that the Passover was prepared. And what did Jesus command them to do? Saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Now, back up, what did they ask Jesus? They wanted, what will thou that we prepare for thee? Mark says, where will thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat? Well, Jesus turns it right back to what? We, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. So he's including them all. What did they ask of Jesus? And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? That was Luke asking that question. Where were you? Where would you? And in fact, if Mark did it back earlier, where wilt thou we go? So they're saying, where should we go? Where should we go to do this? And where did Jesus tell them to go? Well, he said, go into the city to such a man. Mark only says, he saith unto them, go ye into the city. And Luke, he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city. Now, obviously, they knew what city was close by. They had a mind of it, but they were going to partake of this, not out in the prairie, all right? Not out on the plain, but they were going to be doing this in the city. Now, that's where they were to go. They were going to the city. Now, who does Jesus say they would meet there? This is kind of interesting. And there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. And there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Now, I ask you a question. You think this was a prearranged meeting Jesus had set up? And why would this set this man apart? And I give you a little hint. Who normally carried the pitchers of water? The women would normally. But on occasions also the servants would. So no doubt this would be a servant who was carrying this pitcher of water. But obviously this would be, it would have been strange enough to set it out. This would be a sign for them, wow, this is the man. This is the one the Lord wants us to meet because this man is carrying a pitcher of water. Now, do you think this was, okay, Jesus had prearranged this, talked to this guy and said, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be carrying this pitcher of water on such and such a day at such and such an hour to meet my disciples. Or what godly characteristic does this bear witness that our Lord possessed? Now, he didn't always use it, but he sure did have it. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Now, we know that the Lord, at different times, though he had the omniscience, the omnipotence, omnipresent, had all these, at times he suppressed it, at other times he might demonstrate them. And no doubt this is a situation where he's omniscient. He knows all things. And he knows this man is going to be there at this particular time. And he tells, this is the guy I want you to meet. Now watch, what were they to do concerning this man? Hey, this is pretty simple. Mark says, follow him. Luke says it like this. Jesus says, follow him. You don't have to engage in conversation with him. You just got to follow him. Follow him. And now, where were they to follow him? Well, Mark says, and whithersoever he should go in. In other words, following to where he's go, whatever place he goes into, you go there. Luke, it says, into the house wherein he entereth in. There's where you're going to follow him. Following him into the house where he entereth in. Now, this has got to be a faith booster to Peter and John. Hearing Jesus tell him, go find this man's got a pitcher of water on his head. Wherever he goes, you go, there's a place. Especially if this comes to pass. All right, he's telling them these circumstances. Now, would he actually be there? Would this be the house? And what did Jesus say they were to tell the master of the home? And say unto him, talking about the master, that's Jesus, their master, he saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Now, Mark, he says, okay, say ye to the goodman of the house, all right, the one who is the head of the house. The master saith, where's the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Luke, very similar. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And I often thought about this whole situation. We know it wasn't by chance that the Lord chose this particular house to eat the last Passover. And he's showing to this one particular name or individual who is not named, the head of this house, but he's showing him what? What would you say was showing him? What was Jesus showing this one by having his last Passover at his house? Anything? Nothing? What if the president chooses to come and visit your house? Chooses your house to come for an activity or whatever. He's showing you what? Showing you some honor. I don't know about this guy. We don't know anything about him. We don't even know his name. But we do know this, that by the Lord choosing his house, he was showing him some honor. And, and what did Jesus say he would do? Well, he's going to show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. Make ready for us. Luke says, and he will show a large upper room furnished, there make ready. Now, probably the furnished meaning what? What was there? How did they eat? But most of the time they ate lounging, right? So it must had at least those there and other things that were necessary for the preparation for the Passover. Now, we heard all what the Lord said to his disciples, all right? We've heard how he said, okay, go find this one's got a pitcher on his head, follow him to the house. There, ask the head of the house, where's the room that we're to eat the Lord and us are to eat the Passover? And they'll find that all out. And now, what did the disciples actually do? Well, we read Matthew, he says, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and he made ready the Passover. And his disciples, they went forth and came into the city. Luke says, and they went. Now, it's the next question. I think it's exciting. What did Jesus' disciples find and do? And they found as he said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And they found as he said, Luke says, unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Basically, word for word. So Mark and Luke verify the fact that just as the Lord had instructed them, everything that he had told them came to pass. And of course, whether we're looking and studying the book of Exodus or now looking at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, it's the same thing that comes to our understanding, is that when the Lord speaks, what he says happens. And even this morning in our video on the Babel, what the Lord said happened. Now, as we focus on those verses, and this is a short lesson today, short because the next one has like 30 verses. So I couldn't get that started, otherwise it would have a different thought, so we're stopping here. But did we learn anything about our triune God? Especially now, it's not so much God the Father, it's not so much God the Holy Spirit, but in this passage, it's God the Son. So what did they, if anything, did we learn about God the Son in these verses? Say that again. Okay, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. Excellent. Yep, for sure. Yep. And he is. That is true. Absolutely. Now, we see that the Lord is, he's omniscient and so forth. But we also see, now we're going to see a greater demonstration of this, that the second part of the Godhood, God the Son, was submissive to God the Father. In the aspect that, all right, here's the Passover. In obedience to God the Father, the Son kept the Passover. This was written, you know, he's also very submissive himself, and yet he's sovereign. It's just mind-boggling as you look at that. You know, when we talk about omniscience, which Rick spoke of, there's another aspect, another omni, what is really prevalent here, because the fact that everything fell to, as Christ spoke it, you also know that he is omnipotent. He's all-powerful because he's bringing all these characters together. All right, certainly the servant, certainly the master of the house, all of these people are being brought together. So and God's working behind the scenes, prompting hearts, moving individuals to perform what the Lord wants. Now, anything else about our Lord in those verses that jump out at you? That you think was you learned from it or you reminded of the character of your God? Ah, obedience brings blessings for sure. Yes. Amen. And that might bring us to our next thing. What do these verses teach us about mankind? All right. Amen. Yeah, all right. And it was, I mean, we see the disciples are desirous of pleasing the Lord. Lord, where would you have us to prepare the table for you? You know, they're desirous to please him. There's also an aspect that the demonstrate, the at least two, Peter and John, they demonstrated a what towards the Lord? What character quality did they demonstrate? Not only obedience, that was, but what's the first word we have before obey? Bum, 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 bum. Trust and obey. So there had to be an element of trust here for them to go into the city to follow that one wherever he went. We don't know how far it was, to, you know, to a mile. Who knows? I don't know. But you know, so we see the aspect that there were, you know, some of his disciples had a faith and a trusting and obedience to their Lord. Amen. Amen. The good men, yes. Yeah, so we see different individuals showing a spirit of faithfulness, right? The servant, the goodman of the house, Peter and John. And yeah, like you said, there's no names given there. Right. Yeah. Amen. Well, we look at these verses. How might they change your behavior? How might they change anybody's behavior as you look at them? All right. Okay. Yeah, I just put out, I purpose to follow the example of Peter and John of when hearing Jesus' words to go and obey him. Oh, there's, you know, there now I'm following. Paul says, follow me as what? As I follow the Lord. So, yeah, let's follow Peter and John as they follow the Lord, because we don't want to just blindly follow Peter, all right? Because it won't be long from this incident that, well, you know, we're only a day away or so, and Peter, you know, on this day, man, he's ready to go and obey. But then the next situation, you know, he's going to have some struggles. Amen. It is. Amen. All right. Somebody, anybody else with a comment that you want to make on just this short account that we looked at? Because you can see it was only in Matthew 17, 18, 19, three verses. Mark, you know, four. And Luke, you know, we're not, this wasn't a lengthy passage that we looked at, but it was an aspect here on this fifth day of the Passion Week that's very, very important. Preparation for the Passover.